You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Nice.
Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Do a little dance.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight.
Nice.
You high scores, that bad?
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
That is right. That is us. It is In This League. I am the Welsh, who you can find on Twitter at Is It The Welsh right there. That's Scott Bogman. You can find him at Bogman Sports. Welcome in to our show, In This League, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Big show today. Lots of stuff to cover, obviously, because of the NFL draft. But in the first hour, it's all baseball. Dedication to baseball, where we are going to have on USA Today's Steve Gardner. He's going to be joining us in a little bit. Actually, just a few minutes here. We will be going through our player debates. We've got a whole bunch of questions as far as Thames goes and a whole bunch more. So if you're looking for fantasy baseball info, it's right here. Cody Bellinger, is he going to be sent down? Where is his value stand? So Steve Gardner in this hour. In the second hour, we're going to have some more baseball. We're going to be playing some games. We're going to be going through our ITL mailbag, the AKA ball bag. And we'll be playing a little bit of our blind plays so we can kind of give you some blind stats and see if Bogman can guess the players, you as well, who are listening over the Fantasy Sports Radio airwaves. And in the first segment of the second hour, we are going to cover some NFL draft information as Bogman has been deep in studying, did some live periscopes for the NFL draft. I'm going to be asking him the fantasy value, who took hits, who got hit with the bumps for your fantasy drafts this season. So tune in for all of that in the second hour. Steve Gardner coming up here shortly. Bogman, there's a ton going on in the fantasy sports world. None bigger than the huge garbage fire that is the New York Mets and their fantasy situation as Noah Syndergaard, torn lat, out forever. Out for the history of time. I mean, it's just all you have to, it's a paste and copy situation. It's Mets pitcher injured, out indefinitely. Those three things are just like, you just save those on a Word document and copy and paste if you're like a New York writer or a fantasy writer.
I just don't know how this keeps happening. I mean, is this really the Mets medical staff, or is this the Mets drafting injury prone players? Or,
you know what stood out to me?
I mean,
you know what stood out to me? The Mets wanted Noah Syndergaard to take an MRI and he refused. What?
Yeah. Well, like, how does that happen? No. I'm sorry. You don't get to refuse.
No. You're going to take
MRI.
The thing. Yeah. Take the thing with the thing.
We're your boss. Go get it.
Yeah.
And that way, maybe they could have seen. Maybe this wasn't that bad until he started.
I don't know. You know what I'm assuming? Noah Syndergaard was like Peter from Office Space. And like the Mets training staff was like Lumberg. They're like,
hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
We'd like you to come in on Saturday and take a MRI.
Yeah. Did you see the memo about this?
And then
you know,
he just walked right
staff,
by.
I got a lot of stuff going on here while he's playing Tetris, right?
Yeah. He's de-gutting a fish and just pushes over all the training staff equipment. He's like,
just not going to do that today.
So. Yeah, just not going to do that today. So essentially, Noah Syndergaard was Peter, except now he won't be coming into the office whatsoever. Essentially, his arm was the guy with the red stapler.
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
And they burnt it down.
Excuse me. I cannot no longer perform here because I'm not being paid.
Get on the mound and I would like to throw some strikeouts.
You know, with the Mets too, somebody asked me about Conforto. Like, how long do you think Conforto is going to be starting in the outfield? And I was like, well, Cespedes is hurt. Lucas Duda is hurt.
Let me ask you one thing.
Granderson is terrible. So I think Conforto is just the guy now.
What's the one Mets thing that's a guarantee? Like, what's the guarantee with the Mets? They don't know their closer situation. There's not a pitcher that is healthy. I don't know that there's a position player that you can count on.
They'll still be in the playoff mix down at the end of the year somehow. Somehow. They just always seem to be.
And they'll cause tears for many, many fans and fantasy owners. Fantasy owners are killed. Noah Syndergaard was in that tier of pitchers that went with Madison Bumgarner and Chris Sale. You and I were talking about this on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast that people can go check out. When we had recorded, we didn't have news. Now that this has happened, remember when Bumgarner was out, we had a conversation. I'm trying to think of when that happened. Was it Heath Cummings that was on the show, or I don't remember who it was. We were having the conversation like, what would you pay and what would you buy for Bumgarner knowing he's out for 2 months? What would you do with Noah? I have no idea. I don't know what's going on with him. He's out indefinitely.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Would you buy him? Not knowing what the hell's going on with the torn lat? Steven Matz went through this situation, I think, last year, and that was a train wreck.
No, I can't buy him. I can't. I just can't buy him. You don't know what the timetable is.
No.
You're more likely to buy a guy like that than I am.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. But the best that I'm doing is like probably an SP6. Okay, how about this? Check this out, dude. Would you even trade Ian Kennedy for Noah Syndergaard right now?
No.
I don't think you can.
Oh, God.
Would you trade Sonny Gray, who's coming off the DL?
Yes.
You would.
I'm not a Sonny Gray guy. I'm excited to see his first start back. I mean, when I say I'm not a Sonny Gray guy, it doesn't mean I hate the dude.
Yeah,
I just love
Sonny Gray, but
we don't. I just don't want to own him.
How about this one? You probably got a huge discount. You've dealt without him all season long. There's a lot of unknowns in the positive range for him. What if a Noah Syndergaard owner offered you Noah Syndergaard for your David Price?
No, David Price is going to be back on the mound in a month.
This just reminds me of, dude?
Syndergaard pitches until after the All-Star break.
Well, that's where I was going to go with it. This reminds me of like old school Jose Fernandez. Remember that year that like he wasn't going to come back till July and you just drafted him essentially for the playoffs? You're trading for Syndergaard for the playoffs at this point. Can you do it?
Yeah. I don't think you can just because of the fact that you don't know that he's going to be back for the playoffs. Like I'm a timetable guy, man. I got to see what the timetable is. If it's 6 to 8 weeks and then you kind of expect some setbacks and you say, okay, he'll be back August 1st no matter what, then maybe.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably get some of that news.
He's so dominant. But even if he's back August 1st, then it's like, are they going to baby him for the rest of the year? Are they going to not start him if they're out of it? Like, there's just too many questions swirling around him. You know who the best player for the Mets is right now? Jay Bruce.
It's ridiculous. As Drupal Cabrera.
Jay Bruce.
As Drupal Cabrera. Here's what I'd like to know. Where do you guys sit? At Is It the Welsh? At Bogman Sports? And I know this could seem obvious, but are you buying or are you selling Noah Syndergaard? If you have Syndergaard, you're sick to your stomach. You know you're going to get pennies on the dollar. If you're buying Syndergaard, you're going to have to trade a usable player for a bench spot that you hadn't necessarily prepared for a long time in the inherent risk. So knowing the injury, knowing that there's an unknown to it, but knowing he's a top five pitcher when he's healthy, quote unquote, we said that about Matt Harvey. Are you buying or are you selling Syndergaard? We did this question. I did this with PZP on his show with Marte, and about almost 60% were selling Marte. Where does that sit with this one? Hit us up on the Twitter machine. Let us know. You're buying, you selling Noah Syndergaard, a hot topic amongst many things. David Price we'll be talking with here in just a minute. So remember, we have got NFL draft in the second hour. We got some more fantasy baseball coverage. Steve Gardner happening in just a minute. If you're looking for more fantasy football information, find us at inthisleague.com, where you can find all the podcasts we do, where we're going to have a brand new ITL Fantasy Football podcast coming out, where Bogman and I, we are going to be talking about kind of a little bit what we're going to do in the second hour, but on the grand scale. Who are the top 10? Who landed in the best spots? Where are the best fantasy values from the NFL draft? Plus, more fantasy football podcasts are coming up. So don't miss a minute of the action within this league and the many, many, many shows that we do. You can find it all at inthisleague.com. But the ITL guest line is buzzing now, so let's get right to it.
His next guest, you know, for
ITL.
And here we go.
On the ITL guest line now is one of our absolute favorites. Had him a whole bunch of times, and honestly, we couldn't have him on enough. I promise you that. He is Steve Gardner on Twitter, at Steve A. Gardner, the senior fantasy editor over at USA Today and the host of USA Today Fantasy Sports Podcast. Steve, what is going on, my friend?
Hey, not a whole lot, but we got the first month of the season pretty much in the books here, and so we're trying to make some calls and some judgment on whether we see things that are real or maybe imagined, and so yeah, just trying to make some sense out of stuff.
Well, real quick,
same
actually.
As usual.
Yeah, you know? No, totally. Yeah, totally. We never make any sense. So
you're not
always
trying to say that the Diamondbacks might not be for real, are you?
Uh oh, Bogman, secret word of the day: you're not allowed to say Diamondbacks.
Yeah!
Podcast,
that's
remember?
True.
We talk about
I like the Diamondbacks. I think this new regime is injected some life into this team. And with the, you know, the Dodgers are having some problems and the Giants are having some problems. It could be a wild, wild west race.
Diamondbacks,
sending a bunch of ATVs to Clayton Kershaw, just so everyone knows.
Well, you know, also the Diamondbacks, coming off of how ridiculously stupid they look off of the Shelby Miller trade, they can at least say, well, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, we traded Adam Eaton, and, you know, look at him now. He blew his ACL, so we're really smart. Steve, you kind of alluded to that as far as the first month goes. Real quick before we get into everything, how are you assessing the first month? When you're looking at April, the first couple weeks, we're always very hesitant to get too worked up about any major performances. But once you get about a month in, you're starting to get a much better sense of what's going on. So what stands out fantasy-wise? Maybe a thing or two that really stands out to you. It could be an undervalue, an overvalue, an injury-related thing. Just a couple fantasy-related first-month standouts for you.
Well, you're leading right into like my Sports Weekly column that's coming out this week. But I think, you know, obviously – Eric Thames has got to be the number one thing that we look at after the first month. I don't know anybody that saw him coming. And it's sort of, it reminds me of a little bit of the Jose Abreu situation, where you have somebody who is an elite hitter in a different, you know, different setup, different country. And he was one of the best ones, if not the best there. And he comes over, is he going to make an impact right away? And generally, we tend to be a little skeptical. And I remember buying in on Jose Abreu from the beginning. I didn't do that with Eric Thames. And maybe I should have put a little bit more stock in what he did in the Korean baseball organization. But he's just been ridiculous. And the fact that he's crushed the Cincinnati Reds pitchers, but he's beat up on everybody else, too. And, you know, I think, you know, in terms of guys that are for real or not, I kind of feel like Eric Thames is the real deal, and we just sort of missed out on him. His plate discipline, I think, to me, is what really makes him stand out right now. He's not swinging at balls. He's swinging at strikes, and he's hitting those strikes an awful long way. So that's kind of the number one thing, I think, and for the first month when you're talking about storylines.
Well, as long as as long as we don't ask you about trading for Eric Thames and you have an aneurysm on air, we're good. Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand what you're talking about at all. I think we should send every one of our Serranos from the big leagues over to Korea for a year so they can learn how to hit off-speed pitching, apparently.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely worked for Eric Thames.
Obviously, they're like, no marbles. And he's like, huevos? Huevos? Exactly. Eric Thames. What else is going on with the USA Today Fantasy Sports Podcast? What's happening? What should we be on the lookout for with that?
It's great. And you guys kind of blaze the trail a little bit, because you get, you know, different guests each week and you get to talk different kinds of things with people. And that's what I've tried to do a little bit more this year, instead of just keeping a lot of the internal things. Yeah, I had some interviews from spring training that I put up with some earlier podcasts, but it's really fun being able to talk to people. I had Joe Sheehan on this week.
Yep.
Had Mike Gianella from Baseball Prospectus a couple weeks ago, you know, and have Ray Murphy from Baseball HQ. So a handful of guys that, and maybe some gals in the future. Who knows?
Well, there you go.
But
that's
perfect. Just talking some different things and getting different perspectives, and that's kind of fun. So, you know, being a guest on your podcast and some others, it you know, gives you an opportunity to kind of see other people's opinions and what makes them click. So that's kind of where the podcast is going this year.
I love it. So make sure if people are looking on SoundCloud, they can obviously find it there and anywhere that podcast can be listened to.
All right, questions with Steve coming up right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Stick around, everybody.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, welcome back. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's myself, the Welsh, it's Scott Bogman, it's Steve Gardner from USA Today. And it's time that we get into the mind of the master with Steve Gardner. Let's do it. All right, Steve, I'm going to start this off here. First off, you kind of actually alluded to where I want to ask with the first question. In spring training, you interviewed this player, Cody Bellinger, who's what I want to talk about. You got to talk with
no
Cody.
Way the Welsh wants to talk about Cody Bellinger.
No shock that's the first question out the gate. I'm obsessed with Cody Bellinger. I really am. I love the kid. And what a humongous Saturday he goes out and has. His two homers. Finally broke through that little bit of a streak. Dave Roberts, though, he says, regardless of this nice couple games that he's had, it's not going to affect them, which I'm still a little like, why is Franklin Gutierrez going to hold him back outside of this purely being a financial issue with him not wanting him to be up season. But regardless of all that, I do want to get your take on Cody Bellinger. But also, what did you take away from the interview that you talked to him? And does anything apply to what you're seeing now with Cody Bellinger? You talked to him. Maybe talk about what you guys talked about, what we're seeing now, and what you think holds for the future with the potential send down coming pretty quickly for Cody.
Well, it was a fun little interview. It was a brief one. I think I'm going to put that up on my podcast because he's a guy who's in the news. And I think one of the things that I took away from it is that, you know, his dad, Clay Bellinger, was a major leaguer for a short period of time, but still with the Yankees, got some experience there. And so as a kid, Cody was around the clubhouse, you know, and he would get a chance to throw, you know, play catch with Derek Jeter and stuff like that, which, you know, he thought was pretty cool, but thought that everybody kind of got to do that. So
little did he know, we don't.
Like, oh, no, that's right. So anyway, I mean, and it's kind of neat because you felt like he still had that sense of awe of being in a major league clubhouse and being with the guys. But then he was, you know, in the Dodgers clubhouse and he's among these guys, same sort of guys that are now closer to his age. And he had kind of, you know, had a little bit of that awestruckness. But after being with the Dodgers last year in spring training, kind of wore off a little bit and kind of feeling, better, more in the flow. But one of the things, though, his dad was more of a very punch and, you know, put the ball in play kind of contact hitter. And I asked him about that and he said, yeah, we're totally different. I take a big swing. I want to do damage to the ball, you know, not always home runs, but I want to make hard contact, he said. And so, you know, that's what he does. You look at his stat line in the minor leagues, you look at what he's done so far with the Dodgers since he's been up and, you know, crushing those two home runs on Saturday. That's what he does. That's the kind of hitter it is. And I think that's why we're so excited about Cody Bellinger as a prospect because, you know, number one, he does hit for a decent amount of power, which you want to get from somebody coming up from the minor leagues. And two, he's a pretty good runner, too. That's the thing. He was 7-for-7 in stolen bases in the minors before he was called up to the Dodgers.
He had more stolen bases than Yoan Moncada, and Moncada was the talk of the town. He was a better minor leaguer at that point.
Yeah. Yoan Moncada, the Welsh.
Yoan Moncada.
So, you know, I think that, you know, that kind of talent, you look at that from a fantasy standpoint and you're like, wow, I like this guy. And even if, and I think, you know, Dave Roberts is, I'm sure he's plugged in and will say that they, you know, he doesn't want to raise expectations on the kid. You don't want to have him hit too high in the lineup. Although, what was it, second game he was hitting leadoff? But yeah, no pressure, kid. But anyway, I think they don't want to raise expectations too high. However, you look at the injury problems that the Dodgers have had in that outfield, sure. Whether it's Puig, you know, it's Jock Peterson, it's Gutierrez, you mentioned, you know, Trace Thompson has been hurt.
Ethier
hasn't come back yet, you know, hasn't played yet this season. I think, you know, he's going to make a difference this season. And if, you know, if you decide to pick him up on waivers now and just stash him, even when he goes to the minor leagues, I think that's going to be money well spent because the kid can play.
The last one on Bellinger, because I agree with everything you say. We've been talking Cody up for a long time on here. One of two stashes we said preseason was Moncada and Bellinger, and Bellinger comes up first, though. So let's just, because we can play all the games of assuming maybe he doesn't, you know, get sent down, blah, blah, blah. Let's assume he gets sent down. Jock Peterson is coming up Friday. Maybe that holds true for Cody to come down within the next week. What in your guesstimation as far as picking him up, do you think he's down for maybe another month? We can't predict injuries. And is that worth rostering, let's say, in a 12-man standard?
I think so. I really do. You notice Adrian Gonzalez, too, is dealing with some tendonitis in his elbow. And, you know, he's never gone, I don't think, gone on the disabled list in his career. And Dave Roberts did say the other day that that was kind of a factor in how they were letting him play through this. I wonder how wise that is, you know, considering what we saw with Noah Syndergaard just in action, and probably I would expect a DL stint is in his future too, because he was pitching when he probably shouldn't have been. I think that could, you know, that similar sort of thing could happen to Adrian Gonzalez, and Cody Bellinger can come up and play first base because that's his primary position. You know, he's just being an outfielder as, you know, as a side project sort of thing. He came up as a first baseman. That's where his future is. And he could be, you know, the Dodgers first baseman for a good chunk of the season if Gonzalez is hurt.
All right. Well, I feel like
I feel like Gonzalez has to go on the DL at some point. I mean, the dude is playing, you know, I mean, they're doing the right thing. They're giving him the days off and everything. But I'm with you, Steve. I absolutely think that Bellinger is going to be a big factor down the stretch. And Josh Reddick needs to send him one of those shirts that says how to bunt. One, don't. Two, hit a dinger. That's Bellinger's shirt.
And then I want to amend that shirt and then go three, don't again. Stop. Don't.
Three still don't.
By the way, Bogman, I think I'm going to win our Cody Bellinger bet. I think I set it at 250 at bats for this year.
Oh, really? Mm. I think I'm not going to win the Adam Eaton stolen base bet.
No, so, you're not going to win that. No, I don't think you are going to. What
Steve,
else?
Steve, you also talked to David Price prior to his injury. He's thrown a simulated game, a couple bullpen sessions. He says he feels good. How far away do you believe he is? And do you think that we will get pre-injury David Price, or do you think this is a new David Price that we're going to see?
This is a scary thing. I think we will see him fairly soon, within the next 2 weeks. Now, the problem is, and you know, remember back when he was diagnosed, I think the word was from the surgeons, well, if you were a younger guy, I would say go ahead and have surgery. But since you're a veteran guy, why don't you try and ride it out? That's frightening to me.
That's not that is not a good statement, yeah. By the way.
And so you're basically a ticking time bomb. But the fact is that he's gotten to this point now, even from that initial diagnosis, he's gotten to this point where he's throwing, where he's had a simulated game. Everything seems to be progressing according to plan. So I would imagine that he's going to be starting within the next couple of weeks now. So if you did buy low or whatever on draft day and you've held on to him for this long, I think you're going to get some return. It's just that every single time he goes out on the mound, you're going to be holding your breath. Now, whether you get the David Price of old, I don't think you can, because we saw last year he was a little bit more hittable, and pitching in Boston can do some ugly things to your ERA. So
unless you're Chris Sale.
Exactly. And then the Red Sox don't hit for you.
So, yeah, if you're superhuman.
Who knows about that?
I got one.
Tanaka kind of. Oh, yeah, Tanaka kind of had this same thing, right? Where,
yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I feel like he's the only guy that we've seen go through this. So I think there is a track record. The problem is it's one guy with the track record to come back from something like this. So I'm in agreement. I don't know. I don't think you can count on having the old David Price, but I think 80% of David Price is still pretty damn good.
It is pretty. Let me ask you this, Steve. What about the thoughts? Would you do this? Would you trade Matt Harvey to get David Price?
Wow. I don't think I would. I think I would continue to hang in with Harvey. Part of it is the NL versus the AL. But then again, I don't know how much confidence I have in the Mets medical staff right now. I may go to David Price and just take my chances at that point, knowing that both of those guys could be gone and you know, with their next start.
What about what's the range?
You wouldn't want the Mets medical staff attending to you if you had an injury?
You know, I would find a witch doctor, I think.
I think that's what they're hiring with the Mets right now.
Please.
Rub some chicken blood on it. It's going to be okay.
Exactly. I would feel much more comfortable.
It's Chris Rock's dad. Put some tussin on it, boy. Yeah. Put some tussin on it. What's the range? What's the David Price range then? Just assuming. I'm kind of in the camp that, like, I don't think you could get David Price low at this point, especially because he's about to come back. But if somebody owns him, is a little bit scared, maybe you take a young pitcher who's overperforming. Do you think there's something, like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like the range.
Irvin Santana has been great.
I mean, I think that's an easy. You trade Irvin Santana to get David Price, though, right?
Santana's like the number one ranked pitcher in Yahoo.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, because you know you're going to get the innings from Santana. He's pretty much going to be healthy all season long. I'm thinking, you know, maybe somebody like how about Michael Pineda, for instance?
Okay.
You know, a guy with really good peripherals, but always seems to get blown up.
That's a good point.
That's one of those where I could kind of go either way on Price or Pineda.
Okay. I think the main point that people should understand with David Price is he probably hovers the 100 area, maybe 120, like maybe he's a sub 100 guy. I don't think going at you rest of season, you can treat him as a top 100 player, because I kind of don't think you can.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. If probably you're talking like top 100 overall, I'd say he's probably, you know, in terms of pitchers in that 50 to 60 range.
With upside.
And, yeah, with definitely with some upside. I mean, you think of Aaron Nola or Jeff Samardzija or somebody like that. I think that's kind of where he is in terms of range, but he could certainly, if he stays healthy the rest of the way, he's much, much better than those guys.
Yeah. All right. I got a question. We usually don't do questions in our guest portion, but I thought this was a great question, and it's very applicable. At Barry Baker 8664, he had asked, is it optimistic / realistic to think that Miguel Sano can hit for a 250 average, 35 homers, and have a 30% K rate and a 15% walk rate rest of the season? I really think what we're asking is Miguel Sano sustainable to the player we're seeing now, or is this overhyped Sano that's going to come crashing down?
You know, I saw his first at-bats in spring training, and he looked horrible. He swung at three pitches in the dirt from, I can't remember who the Tampa Bay pitcher was, but it wasn't anybody very good. And okay, I am giving up on it. And I never should, you know, you should never do that in, you know, one game, one set of plate appearances. But I didn't get him on any of my teams and had pretty much written him off because, you know, last year he regressed. After a really good-looking rookie season, he regressed considerably. He struck out a lot more, and to me, it seemed like he's not, you know, not making the strides you want to see. Now, it helps moving him back to third base, I think, because playing the outfield was certainly not for him. I think with those numbers, I think he'll hit 250. 35 home runs, I think, is a pretty good bar. You could see him getting maybe even a few more than that. The 30% K rate, I think, is a pipe dream. I think he's going to strike out more than that. He's at 35% for his career. He's over the 30% mark so far this season. The one thing that really encourages me, though, about Sano is that the walk rate is back up.
Look at that thing. 19.6%. Yeah. Wow.
That's what he did so well as a rookie, and that's what made him so effective. And he just abandoned that, it seemed like, last season. It's back up again, and I think that's the best sign of all, that he's not just swinging at everything. He's laying off some of those pitches. And I think for that reason, I may have to kind of change my tune on him.
So do you assume Miguel Sano – okay, before I get to the question I'm going to ask here, is he a top 50 player to you, Miguel Sano, with those numbers?
You know, I guess those numbers would put him pretty darn close to that. I just don't picture him as a top 50 player, though. So okay, somehow or another, I've got to reconcile that. Maybe it's the batting average, and maybe he doesn't hit that 250. Maybe he's more in the 235 or 240, and that bumps him out of the top 50. But, you know, if you can stomach that, and if you got some, you know, some high average guys on your team, he's super valuable.
Okay, so then let me – I think I know the answer to this, but I'm curious to see how we work around it. Let's assume you have a hard time having him be top 50. Let's call him 50 to 60. Let's test how real you think Eric Thames is. Do you trade one for the other? What side of the trade do you want, Miguel Sano or Eric Thames?
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, Bogman doesn't understand the question. That's funny.
I would go with Thames.
By a lot? Because I'm curious. I mean, then you're putting Eric Thames – are you putting Eric Thames as like a top 40 player? 30?
Well, what is he right now? 2?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing right
so
now.
So he regresses
totally.
To 40.
Yeah, I mean, you put those stats in the bank after 1 month, and no, I think Thames can be really, really good, and can, you know, while not at this pace, can still sustain a very healthy pace. I'm all over him. You know, plate discipline again. He strikes out less than Sano does, and he has had typically a walk rate over his career that was basically close to a little lower than what Sano is doing right now. And if he continues to do that, I think somehow or another, he's learned the strike zone really, really well. And that's the key to it. And I mean, that's the key for just about anybody. If you can control the strike zone, you can get your pitch to hit. And when you can get your pitch to hit, you can murder it. And so I like Thames. I really do. And I think the other thing is Thames may steal a few bases, too, which will make him even more valuable.
What if we threw in Aaron Judge to that? He hit the hardest homer in the StatCast era, but he's got a sub 275 BABIP. a 10% walk rate, plenty of counting stats, good average. What value range does Judge sit in?
I would say Judge and Sano are pretty close in my mind. Judge so far is hitting for a really good average, and so that has him certainly with the potential to be a lot better if he can continue that. I think, though, that the K rate is going to catch up with him as well. You know, last year, granted, small sample size and all, but 44% strikeout rate. This year, it's down to 26. And, you know, right in the a little bit lower than Sano's strikeout rate, but I think it's going to go higher. And I think once pitchers, you know, they'll adjust to Judge and they won't adjust to Thames. Right. That doesn't make much sense. I think they'll adjust to both of them, but I think they can find more holes in Judge's swing just because, you know, he's 6'8". There's got to be a way to get him out. And so far, pitchers are leaving the ball in the wrong spots for him, and the home run to fly ball rate, I don't think will be as high as it is
right
now. It's like
the perfectly built baseball player. He's super tall with short arms.
Yeah, you nailed it, Bogman. We're always on the same mind frame here. When we talked about Aaron Judge when he was still a prospect many years ago, and one of the things that stood out about Aaron Judge, outside of guys like Kyle Blanks or even Giancarlo Stanton, was he like, he's not like a T-Rex or anything, but he had abnormally kind of like short arms for like a guy
Matthew
that's 6'8". You know what I mean? And that has kind of helped. That has actually helped him get inside the zone. So I don't know how to phrase this, and I'm not sure if there is a proper answer for this, so just humor me for a minute, Steve. You got guys like Aaron Judge, who if you put Aaron Judge kind of with Sano, that's a very heavy and lofty grade that he's jumped up and value he's jumped up. Eric Thames has done kind of the same thing.
Yep.
What is a determining factor you look at with players when you say, this guy's never done this before and he's incredible and this is a fluke? And then this guy's never done this before and he's incredible and this isn't a fluke? Because I can appreciate buying in, because I think there's a reality of Aaron Judge here. I think there's a reality of Eric Thames. I'm not sure I'm in the Aaron Judge as a top 75 quite yet. I don't know if I'm in Eric Thames as a top 30, but where's the factor where you're not like, these aren't Brandon Inge from a couple years ago and these guys are going to hold the season value? What's that determination for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to put too much stock into the stats in Korea just because it's so completely different. But again, the fact that he had 3 whole years to learn to become a different hitter and adjust his game, talking about Thames, and become what we've seen so far in the first month of this season, I'm a little bit more willing to buy into that than I am with Judge. Again, he's seen major league pitching for, what was it, less than 30 games last year, less than 30 games so far this season. And he still had some issues in the minor leagues with strikeouts. And, you know, the power, certainly the raw power is there. But I think there's still more of a learning curve for Judge at age 25 than there is for Thames at age 30.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a hard question. Sometimes we just have to what's that saying? You have to let go. You just have to let go and trust the process of what you have. And sometimes guys are hot and you just got to pick them up and you have to take them for face value with a little bit of a caveat. Last one, though. I want to talk about your team. We were talking about this a little bit off air. There's a couple things I want to hit on here. And obviously the injury to Adam Eaton is pretty brutal. I mean, he was great, you know, great player this season. One of Bogman's guys, rightfully so, an on-base guy with stolen bases. It seemed like a big
call. He was playing so well.
And
it's as soon as I'm okay with his health, I'm like, well, he finally gets into that looking kind of healthy range.
Yeah, and it's brutal. So the guy that has been getting a little bit of attention, and if I remember it correctly, he might have been getting like a start or two right before, or maybe it was right when everything's been a little whirlwind the last couple of days. But Dusty Baker had been talking about Michael Taylor and kind of mentioning like not a lot of guys get a second, third chance, and this kind of might be it. And he now has it, obviously, with the Adam Eaton injury. So do you think Michael Taylor can hold this gig and taps into the potential, or are the Nats potentially going to look to replace him? Maybe he's replaced by late May. And I'd also throw in, look at a guy like Anthony Rendon, who has the game of the century with 3 homers and 10 RBIs. When all their offensive pieces are moving, teams like that can they can afford to go buy like a defensive replacement, not worry about the offense. So maybe if the offense is kicking, they want to go get a defensive outfielder and don't even worry about the Michael Taylor offensive potential. But I leave it to you. What do you think about Michael Taylor and what he holds for the future?
Well, the thing that he does, I mean, he does have power and he does have speed that he's displayed. Didn't do it last year. Last year was kind of a washout year for him. But, you know, 2 years ago, he had one of the longest home runs, I think may have been, if not the longest, maybe the second longest of all of 2015 at Coors Field, it's like 480 some feet. So, I mean, he can play, he can hit the ball, and he can run a bit. And that's what I think, you know, that's what the Nationals need him to do is just play defense. They don't need him to be an offensive star. For fantasy owners, we can't really rely on that. So we need him to do something. But the fact that he can do, you know, a couple of things that we really like, hit some home runs and steal some bases, I think he can be a valuable fantasy piece. I don't think he's going to hit for a very high average because he does have issues making contact and he doesn't have a two strike approach. I think his two strike approach is just the same as his one strike and no strike approach. But the fact is the Nationals don't need him to be an offensive force in this offense, which is, you know, crushing everybody in terms of runs scored and slugging percentage and everything after the first month. You've got Bryce Harper to carry the load, and you've got Anthony Rendon who can pop up and have a fantastic game. You know, you've got plenty of options. Daniel Murphy, you know, led the majors in slugging last year, I think. So those guys can carry the offense. All the Nationals need Michael Taylor to do is play good defense in center field and, you know, hit eighth and take some walks in front of the pitcher. Really, that's all they need him to do. So from that aspect, I don't think the Nationals are going to panic and say, we need to get somebody else out there in the outfield to replace Adam Eaton, because the offense is good enough without that. And so at this point, I think Michael Taylor is going to have the benefit of nobody's pushing him. So he's going to be in the lineup every day. And from that aspect, he's going to get the counting stats in runs and hits and stolen bases. That's going to make him, you know, not Adam Eaton certainly, but a viable replacement for him on fantasy teams.
So you buy him? Oh, okay. Michael Taylor or Domingo Santana?
I would probably go with Santana over Taylor, but it's close. They're very similar players.
Okay, I got two more. Michael Taylor or David Peralta?
Again, I don't think Peralta's got the stolen base ability, but I kind of like Peralta's numbers because he's going to hit in a better spot in the lineup. I think he's going to hit fairly high in the Diamondbacks lineup. So therefore will be productive. Hey, that's a productive offense too. You know, the Nationals may be number one. The Diamondbacks are probably what, two or three right now in terms of scoring and production.
Secret word. Can't talk about
we
the Diamondbacks.
We
here.
Can't talk about them.
We talk about
as long as you're complimenting them. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Avisail Garcia or Michael Taylor.
See, I think Garcia's a fluke. I think he's a big fluke so far. And even though he's still young, he could probably, you know, have the light bulb come on. I would take Michael Taylor for the power plus the speed over Garcia.
All right. I like it. All right. A little Nationals talk. We can't not have Nationals talk when we have Steve on. I remember we got you like right after the Max Scherzer 20 freaking strikeout game. It was amazing. We always got to talk Nationals.
Oh, baby. I told you guys at the time that was the most exciting time I've had in a Major League Baseball park as a fan watching that game.
I have no doubt that would have been incredible. We love Max too. So
next, the famous player debate. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. Everyone has opinions, and you're going to hear ours right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, player debates. Steve, you know how we do it. We go rest of season value. We're going to go player versus player. Sometimes they're so close, sometimes they're far off, and sometimes they're a little wacky. And I think the first one, when I say it, people are going to roll their eyes. And maybe when we're done, people will roll their eyes that we did it. But let's go through the exercise as it is. Rest of season value. Cesar Hernandez versus John VR with the Brewers. What do you think, Steve? It's tough. John VR is the obvious preseason value guy. The stats are not the same for these two players right now. What do you think?
No, it's almost like Hernandez has turned into VR from last year.
Yes.
Because his power has come out of nowhere. And he's already, you know, already four home runs. And I think last year, all of last year, he had six. So, I mean, that's huge. The thing is, though, and here's the difference. I think VR is still going to steal a ton of bases and is going to be successful. That's the problem with Hernandez. It seems like whenever, I mean, he'll run, but his success rate last year was 17 out of 30. That's not good, you know, and that's going to get you the red light more often than it does give you the green light. And so I think because of that, even though he's like three for four this year, that's good, but I'm still not a believer in him being able to have such a high success rate. The other thing I think the fluke is, while VR did show some power in previous seasons last year, just didn't get the playing time. You know, he'd already had several isolated slugging percentages over 100. And in Hernandez's career, he's never had one with an ISO over 100. And this year it's at 196. So I think that's where the fluke comes in. It's just a rant, you know. Four home runs is such a small amount that it skews things completely. And I don't think it would not surprise me to not see him hit four home runs the rest of the season, you know, total in the next 5 months. So I would say it's not that close. I would still take VR.
Oh, so it's not it's not even still close.
I don't think so. No.
Okay, Bogman, what do you think? John VR, Cesar Hernandez, Steve broke a lot down, and a lot of it makes sense. There are some big differences, though, in the players. Obvious regression coming, but there's a huge discrepancy in average. There's a discrepancy in runs, and you know, there's a couple other things that tilt both ways. What do you think, Boggs?
Well, the only thing I think that Steve didn't cover was BABIP here.
Yeah.
And VR's BABIP is 297, and Cesar Hernandez is 406. And,
ding, ding.
It makes a lot of sense with their average. I mean, Cesar's hitting 326. VR is 214. So I think that's going to regress to the mean. I'm not giving up on Hernandez this year. I actually would be surprised if he hit only three more for the rest of the season. I think he could get up to 10 or 15. But I think that batting average is going to come way down. VR is going to come way up. So maybe not way up. Maybe he's more of a 250 hitter than a 285 hitter. But it'll come up enough. Plus, he's still going to steal way more bases. So it's going to be VR for me.
Okay. I'm going to join in. And so, again, there may be a little bit of an eye roll to the end where I'm going to agree. It is John VR. Everything you said. Cesar Hernandez, his BABIP has got to come down probably at a 50% clip. And Jonathan VR, he's a career 347. Last year, he was a 373. The year prior was 360. And this year, his BABIP is 297. So it's going to come up. The stolen bases are going to come up, but here's what I want to point out real quick. An obvious number is, like, you can see VR's strikeout numbers have risen and his walk numbers have come down, and there might be a portion of that that Tim's trying to sell out for a little bit more power. But one of the things I want to mention, because I am going VR, and it's not razor-thin close, but VR is going to go from a player who is pre-draft anywhere from, I mean, the ridiculous 25 to 40. Let's call it that. Cesar Hernandez is probably a 200. I think end of season, Cesar Hernandez is a 120 type player, and I think VR is a 50 to 70 player. So yes, it's far enough, but the gap has definitely closed between the two. And I think Hernandez is a 10 to 14 homer guy with a 20 plus stolen bases, but I think VR can get up to the 40s, and he can probably get in double digits as well. And when all is said and done, the average will probably be within 15 points of each other. So I'll go VR, but I don't think it's crazy far off. And I could see scenarios where someone trades VR and they get Cesar Hernandez and another piece. I think you could make that work.
There. Absolutely. What about a Yankee pitcher and a former Yankee pitcher, Steve? Ivan Nova versus Luis Severino.
Now, this one's a little bit closer in my mind. I think, you know, Nova has been so good as a Pittsburgh Pirate. And the stat that really jumped out at me, I think a few people were tweeting it, he has more complete games in a Pittsburgh uniform than he's walks.
Crazy. You know,
five complete games, four walks. And that is just mind-boggling. And the fact that he's able to do that without getting, you know, a ton of strikeouts is a testament to, maybe it's Ray Searidge, maybe it's Ivan Nova suddenly, you know, figuring things out. I don't know. But he's definitely a completely different pitcher than he was with the Yankees. Severino, although I'll tell you what, as much as I like Nova, I think Severino has the higher upside here. And this is one of those where do you want to play for the ceiling or for the high floor? I look at Severino, and he's putting up ridiculous strikeout-to-walk numbers too. You know, 33 strikeouts, 4 walks. And he's a guy that can hit 97, you know, with ease. I think I'm leaning towards Severino here, even though he doesn't have the bulk of the workload and the track record that Nova does. I'm kind of buying into Severino.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with Steve here. I'm actually kind of surprised. I thought I might be the only one that was on Severino. They're both really good right now. A huge thing for Severino with me is it's really positive to see that walk percentage go down. I mean, you can't ignore Ivan Nova's. It's a 0.25 walk per nine right now. That's crazy. But Luis Severino, who was +3 last year, is down to 1.3. He's got an 11K per nine, which is about 6 points higher than Severino, who's at 5. Plus, there's a couple other really nice factors. Severino doesn't have that. You know, like where we look at, who are we looking at the other day, Bogman, where someone had like a 99% left on base percentage? Like,
I think Keuchel.
Keuchel, it's not crazy. It's about 71%. He's got a higher ground ball percentage than Nova. Plus, their ERA to xFIP, they're both going in the opposite direction. So Nova's a 3 ERA. His xFIP is down at 2.17. Where you've got Nova, who's got a 1.5 ERA, but his xFIP is 3.33. So maybe a little bit of regression with Nova. Luis Severino, it kind of seems to be legit. I'm actually shocked this hasn't kind of come down. He's pitching to a really low BABIP, so we'll see. I think both of these guys are going to even out, but I think it was perfectly said. I'm going to go with the upside guy. I'm going to go with the strikeouts when I'm looking at my pitchers and when I'm looking in fantasy, and I'm going to go with Severino. I'm willing to take my chance that I'm looking for, you know, my chalk floor. What do you think, Bogman? Are you going to sweep it, or are you going to defend your guy Nova?
Well, I love Nova, and I love what he's doing, and the 4 walks in a Pirate uniform is absolutely incredible, and I love the job that Ray Searidge is doing, but, I mean, you guys have kind of hit it home, and I'm just a strikeout whore, and that 11K per 9 is just too good for me to pass up with Severino. So I think both these guys are going to, you know, regress to the mean a little bit as it comes into the season. You know, it's going to warm up, ball's going to start flying out, but I think I'm still still with Severino, but Nova is really, really good. And if you drafted Nova, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. But the positive thing is both of these guys, do we all agree that both of these guys aren't going to fall off a cliff? Like maybe
no,
what
not
they're
a cliff, just regress to the mean.
Yeah.
Like a 3 ERA, not like a 1 and a 2.
Do you agree with that, Steve? Like both of these guys, they'll even out a little bit, but they're not going to fall off a cliff.
I think there's a chance, you know, maybe a 5 or 10% chance that Severino does run into trouble and gets, you know, Yankee Stadiumed a couple of times and ends up, you know, maybe having his confidence shaken a little bit and has a start skipped or something. You know, something like that, the disaster could happen for him. But right now, showing the skills that he is, I think he's a fairly safe bet that, you know, it's only 10% and not like 40%.
I like it. All right. Last one here. And in fair knowledge, I want everyone to know I changed it because I just inadvertently asked the question mid-show. We kind of answered it. I did ask Thames versus Sano, but we kind of covered that. So let's go with this one. That is a great one Bogman put together. Chris Owings versus Addison Russell. Bogman, why don't we start with you and then we'll let Steve finish this all out here. Chris Owings versus Addison Russell. What do you think, Boggs? Don't say the team that Chris Owings plays for, by the way. Don't talk about that.
This is really hard because the Diamondbacks own Chris Owings. The Welsh is playing so well right now. I mean, he's hitting .318. He's got 4 bombs. He's got 7 swipes already. The Diamondbacks are running everybody. But he's got some stuff that's going to regress. His BABIP is .369. That's going to come down. He has a 23.5% homer to fly ball ratio. That is not going to stick around. Addison Russell, on the other hand, is still playing well. His average right now is .269, .313 on base, 6.3 homer fly ball rate for him. You know, I love the Diamondbacks lineup, but the Cubs have the better lineup. I think that while it's going to be closer because Owings is going to have way more stolen bases at the end of the year, I feel like I'm still going to go with Addison Russell. I feel like his power is more real. He's going to be in the better lineup the whole season. So I'm going to take Addison Russell, but it's closer than it was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think you nailed all those points. I'm going to agree with you. Counting stats with Addison Russell, I like. There's going to be more power. Stolen bases won't be quite there, so they're going to even out. I've been a champion of Chris Owings for a little while, but I do think he's going to come down just a little bit. But when all is said and done, the powerhouse of a team that Addison Russell is on makes me move in that direction. Though Chris Owings does have a little bit more flexibility in leagues like Yahoo. But at the end of the day, it's Addison Russell with Owings definitely closing the gap a bit, but it's pretty easily handed Addison Russell to me. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I'll join in with both of you guys. I think the fact that Owings is hitting for more power this year than he ever has is, you know, kind of an eye opener, but I don't know that will necessarily continue all season long. You know, there's that issue, which we don't know. What's going to happen when the humidor actually takes effect Chase Field? Is that going to be something that's going to limit guys in the home runs that they hit there at Arizona? Or, you know, I wouldn't think that it would affect a Paul Goldschmidt, for instance, but maybe somebody like a Chris Owings who doesn't hit moonshots when he hits them out. So I think that's part of it. And, you know, his isolated power this year, over 200, which he's never even sniffed before in his career. So that's got to come back to earth a little bit. And I think Addison Russell is the safer of the two. And, you know, hitting in that Cubs lineup, there are RBI opportunities and run production opportunities up and down that lineup that you don't necessarily get in Arizona.
Absolutely. Well, I can't say it enough, and it's not lip service when I say it. I promise you that Steve Gardner is one of the best in the business, one of the best people that we know. I promise you, if you're not checking out his work at USA Today, you're doing it wrong. And if you're not listening, we love you, man. We love you. You got to be listening to USA Today Fantasy Sports. Steve is everywhere. He is always gracious with his time. One of the best guests, one of the best hosts. I can't say it enough. We are always, always excited when we have you on. We know it's going to be a good show when Steve's on. So, Steve, we love you, man. Follow him on Twitter at Steve A. Gardner, and we always look forward to the next time we get to talk with you.
Bogman, Welsh, both you guys, it's a great time every time we get together, whether it's in person over the Skype machine. It's always fun. So anytime you want to talk baseball, I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks, love you, Steve. Thanks again.
Take care.
All right. Well, thanks again to Steve Gardner. We love him. One of our favorite in the industry. Make sure you're checking out everything he has going on. But don't go anywhere, because we've got a whole another hour coming up of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's always 2 hours. Coming up right at the top of the hour, NFL Draft Talk. Bogman is going to lay out the top two players that had the best jump in value from the NFL Draft and the top two players that are going to get smacked with fantasy value, plus a couple other questions. And then we're going to play some blind plays with fantasy baseball. We got a couple other things to cover. Plus, we're going to get in to the mailbag. It's your questions, and maybe it's your question that you haven't even asked your fantasy baseball team. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman the Welsh. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh. We're in your ears. We're in the ear holes. We're here to talk about a little bit of the NFL draft, which, just like any NFL draft, it's always crazy. There's always surprises. One team, it always is laughable. It's usually the Browns. This time it was the Bears. There's always insane stuff like, was it Taco Charlton who coming up with a picture of his grandma and Carson and even Deion Sanders?
Zach McKinley.
And then it was just like, whoa.
I was going to get out of Richmond. I was going to get out of Oakland. I was going to go to the NFL. I made that promise to her, man. 30 seconds later, she passed away. And this is what I do it for. This is what I do it for, man. Come on, man. Get to the damn quarterback. We don't get to the quarterback.
Deion Sanders was like, whoa, man, chill. Just a tiny bit, tiny bit. So crazy
Drew
stuff.
Drew Pearson with his stuff was pretty solid, too.
Yeah.
Screaming at the Philly fans like it was a wrestling event.
Yeah. Roger Goodell wiped a booger on that girl that was missing a leg, if you saw that. Like, it was just crazy. It was just insanity. So, but that's not what we want to talk about here. The one thing, the anticipation of the whole process is, where are some of the best college players going to land that's going to affect their fantasy value? Because when we walked in, the top two guys were Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook. I kind of don't even think that was arguable. You know, then Christian McCaffrey was somewhere between 3 and 5, depending fantasy valuations and whatnot. That
right,
potentially has
Davis
changed.
And Mike Williams,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was like the top five. That was a consensus top five. It doesn't necessarily doesn't necessarily change, but it doesn't necessarily mean the order is going to stay the same, because when these guys start falling into their teams, here's an example from last year's draft where the top two guys were kind of clearly Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott. Well, Ezekiel Elliott went into the best situation on the planet, and Derrick Henry went into a garbage situation because he was blocked by DeMarco Murray.
Right. Being stuck behind a Pro Bowler is never good.
It's not that great. So a couple questions here. Bogman, who were two players that took Who are two players that benefited the most from their draft position that, you know, however you had them pre-draft ranked, have now jumped up? So give me two guys.
Well, I think there's an obvious one in Leonard Fournette, right? He winds up in a situation where the running game just could not get it going with TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory last year. Ivory was hurt. Yeldon was ineffective. The offensive line was ineffective. They also even took Cam Robinson to help in the run game for the Jaguars. So I really think Fournette is the obvious one who wound up in a good situation. Obviously, not going to the Bengals or the Jets helped him a lot too.
So let me. I'm going to cut you off. I'm actually surprised you're saying that one, because Chris Ivory is there, because TJ Yeldon is there. It actually seems a little messy.
You just don't take a guy four overall to play him.
It's funny.
Chris Ivory is not going to matter at all. And I'm an Ivory guy. I like Chris Ivory.
I know you do.
But he's just not going to matter
You
at
know
all.
What? You're actually kind of right. You know what this reminds me of identically is the Dallas Cowboys situation. Remember where Elliott was drafted and they had Darren McFadden and they had Alfred Morris. And I know that seems like laughable right now thinking about. But at that time,
McFadden was great the year before.
And Alfred Morris they brought in. It's almost kind of the same situation where you have Yeldon. So, okay, you sold me. I bought. Not that I was like down on Leonard Fournette, but it didn't seem like the world's greatest situation. But there's definitely, they've got a good offense as far as receivers go. They've now got their feature back, building around the offensive line a little bit. And, there's Blake Bortles. Okay, so number one is Fournette benefited greatly. He sticks as the number one fantasy prospect out of this draft. Where do you think he's going to sit as far as actual drafts go now?
I think he's going to go in the second round. I think he is probably a top 12 starting back. I think the big discussion that we've had so far is him or Lamar Miller, because now Lamar Miller has Deontay Foreman behind him. Leonard Fournette is a rookie. But his offensive line, I don't know. Houston's offensive line is pretty bad, too. So that's kind of the level of what we're looking at. I'm going to take Fournette just on talent over Lamar Miller myself. But that's kind of where we stand.
All right, number two then. Number two guy that benefited the most from his draft spot that fantasy onlookers should be looking for.
I think David Njoku. David Njoku goes to Cleveland where they lost Terrell Pryor. They went, because they drafted him, they cut Gary Barnage. So I think that he has a chance. It's between him and Corey Coleman to be the number one option on offense in the passing game. And I know the passer is going to be concerning because it's going to be a mix of Cody Kessler, Brock Osweiler, DeShone Kizer, who they drafted, and Kevin Hogan even got in there last year. But you look at the targets. I mean, they signed Kenny Britt, who's a little underrated. They have Corey Coleman, and then they have this mess of what they drafted last year with Coleman, Lewis, Higgins, yeah. Payton, those type of guys. And David Njoku has set the valve to compete with the tight end. So I think that
Gary Barnage being cut was like a huge thing.
That's gigantic.
When we did if people want to go back and listen, our pre-NFL draft where we were talking about, the top eight questions and you broke down your top 10 prospects, I think you had Njoku at maybe like 10. Does that sound about right? Like, where do you think he sits now?
Now I have him at 7.
Okay, so that's
got him behind some of these running backs. And, I'm not going to put him ahead of O.J. Howard. I just think O.J. Howard.
Yeah, you love that guy. Is he a starting 12-man tight end?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. That's he is a definite starting 12. I think him and O.J. Howard are going to be drafted around the same spot as of right now. And this is, pre-me making my list or doing any mocks or anything. I have him in the 9th round.
Okay. That's pretty huge. All right. Now, players on the opposite end from the NFL draft, guys that took probably the biggest fantasy hit, the fantasy value in your eyes.
Well, I wanted to say Dalvin Cook first because him and Latavius Murray are in the same backfield, and I think Cook could get a lot of work between the 20s, and then they could go to Murray. But bigger than that is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon going to the Bengals with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard there, that is rough. That is a rough spot to land in. I think Mixon is much more talented than these guys. I know Larry Zerline compared Joe Mixon to Le'Veon Bell. And when I watch his tape, he reminds me of Marshall Faulk. So, I mean, those are big names to put him with. Obviously, he has all those off-the-field problems, but
who's your Dolphins running back? Who was the rookie Dolphins running back last year that you liked so much?
Are you talking about Kenyon Drake?
Kenyon Drake. This reminds me of Kenyon Drake, where, I mean, Joe Mixon's a better talent, but, you know, where it was like Kenyon Drake, it was like, well, you know, they got Ajayi. They just had a messy backfield, and it was like
the
Kenyon Drake
could get
it.
The reason I liked Drake last year was because I disliked Jay Ajayi's health, and then he wound up staying healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, it just reminds me of a similar situation where it's just messy, and Joe Mixon talent-wise is up there. But yeah, I mean, I mean, really, what the Bengals did with Joe Mixon and John Ross, it's kind of wacko. So all right, so Joe Mixon, you're a little out on.
Yeah, and then the other guy, I mean, just is so obvious. Alvin Kamara, worst situation to wind up in New Orleans because they didn't trade Mark Ingram during the draft, and they signed Adrian Peterson right before the draft. And then they took Alvin Kamara. So
that's weird. Weird.
Who's going to be? You talk about a three-headed mess. Who's going to be the third guy? Is it going to be Kamara? Or is it going to be Ingram? Or is it going to be Peterson?
What about Kadett?
Yeah. I mean, Kadett's still there too. They've got all kinds of stuff to compete with. So Alvin Kamara takes a pretty big hit in my eyes.
Where was he top 10 as far as draft prospects for fantasy? Where was he pre-draft? I don't remember. Was it like 6?
Pre-draft, I think he would be the 4th running back.
Okay, now where do you think he is?
I mean, I've got him behind Jamal Williams, behind Sam J.P. Ryan, behind Marlon Mack, even behind guys like Jeremy McNichols and Donnell Pumphrey, because I think there's going to be more opportunity for those guys to get the job. I mean, as of now, I mean, you know, the Eagles or the Bucks sign Jamal Charles, someone like that, then it would go down, but you know, Alvin Kamara has Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, Travis Kadett, and they drafted Daniel Laska last year, who I like.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. So, I mean, I think the best case scenario for Alvin Kamara is 10 touches a game. Absolute best case is someone gets hurt. Peterson gets hurt. Ingram gets hurt.
Well, it could happen. Educated guess. Running backs that are viable fantasy options in 2017. And we'll call that up to a running back 3. How many from this rookie class are at worst a running back 3?
Let's see. I got to get a count.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette. That's obvious.
Yeah, Fournette, Cook, McCaffrey, Mixon.
Is McCaffrey your number 2, by the way?
McCaffrey's my 3. I have him behind Cook.
You still have Cook. So even though we talked about Mixon going down, you still think he could be as good as a running back 3 this year in fantasy?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's just more talented than Jeremy Hill. And I think if you take Joe Mixon, you're kind of saying
what was he
that
before?
Jeremy Hill
a running back
out.
2?
Yeah, I think he'd be a running back. If he wound up in Tampa Bay, I would have had him way up here because that would have meant that they're just done with Doug Martin and they're going to Mixon. But I think waiting and taking a guy later sucks. I think Sam J.P. Ryan, they've already said Sam J.P. Ryan is going to compete with Robert Kelly. You know, I know Ty Montgomery, Green Bay is saying Ty Montgomery is the guy, but I like Jamal Williams. And I told you before, I like Aaron Jones a lot, too. You know, Marlon Mack going to the Colts where Robert Turbin hasn't worked out. And Josh Reynolds has been it's going to be Josh Reynolds or Josh Ferguson. I mean, this year, I always get those guys mixed up. I mean, Frank Gore never gets hurt, but he's got a good spot, I think. McNichols being there, you know, Donald Pumphrey is basically a Darren Sproles clone going to Philly. Him maybe even Foreman. And, you know, the Giants haven't signed Blunt, so Perkins is a starter right now. But they drafted Wayne Gallman, who was in a pro set in Clemson. So I think he could be underrated too. I think there's a decent amount of I don't know if I would call them RB3s, but guys that can contribute this year.
I think, Foreman and Sam J, those are the two that actually took some of the biggest boosts up that could potentially jump into RB3s this year. Because Lamar, I'm not sure how much Houston is even sold on Lamar Miller anymore. And then, you know, him going and then P. Ryan going up against Robert Kelly, that's pretty huge. So, I mean, outside of the top 3, not sure how many are actual RB3s. Mixon, for sure could jump into an RB2 pending situation, as well as some of those other guys. There you go. If you're looking for more fantasy football talk, you can easily find it. Just, you know, put on a podcast, turn on a radio, you'll find it everywhere. But if you want some more of our takes, you want some more In This League takes, make sure you're subscribed to the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we will be doing a full NFL breakdown as far as where these fantasy guys go in our next episode, as well as mock drafts will be around the corner. We'll be talking dynasty. It's all freaking right around the corner. But what's actually around the corner is our next segment, where we are going to be getting into our ITL mailbag. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be answering fantasy baseball questions that you guys had. You can always email us at ballbag@inthisleague.com. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman and the Welsh on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We will be right back.
ITL.
I seem to be dropping all your mail. Oh! I guess I'm a clumsy mailman.
Like I had a ball.
You're a bad mailman.
All right, it's the ITL ball bag. Email us at ballbag@inthisleague.com for any of your questions. You can also tweet us. Use the hashtag ITL ball bag. A couple of you keep using ball bag, and I don't like searching that that hashtag on Twitter. It scares me when I do it.
Wavels.
Remind also, if you guys send questions in on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, you know, Monday, really it's kind of between like Saturday and early Tuesday, unless you specify, we're not going to answer until it gets to the episode. So I don't want you to think we're ignoring your questions.
Not even if you specify. We're not going to answer until it gets to the episode. So if you have something that you have to have answered immediately, do still scottbogman@gmail.com, isitthewelsh@gmail.com, or Twitter, Facebook, something. Yeah. If it has to be answered today, right now, one of those.
Yeah,
if it can wait, ball bag.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, late Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, really, where you have the questions, you want to shoot those over, pop them over if you know, you can wait a day or two and we'll get going. So let's get going with it, Bogman. What's the first one up?
Mike Riske writes in. He says, what is going on with the closing role in Houston? We know Ken Giles has had some struggles. We talked up Chris Devinsky here a little bit. But I think that there's nothing going on with it. It's just going to be Ken Giles.
Well, on the outset, the concern is he's got a 5 ERA, which is going to concern people. His strikeouts are still high, though. He's played in 9 games, and he has 5 saves. You want it interesting. We just talked about Santana, how he had a .77 ERA to a 4 xFIP. Well, you've got Ken Giles, who's got a 5 ERA, but his xFIP is 2.79 with a FIP of 1.53. Ken Giles is fine. It's just a tiny bit of a rough patch. Got hit up a tiny bit. He didn't even give up a homer, by the way. He's just been a little walky. Gave up a few runs. Left on base percentage is kind of low compared. He's like a career 75%, and he's at 54%. He'll be fine. I don't think he's losing it. Luke Gregerson is kind of, eh.
Yeah, he's been the same deal as Ken Giles. So.
And you said it. They're not going to take Devinsky out of that role. He's too valuable there.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, Devinsky is more likely to go to a starter role than a closer role because they have Gregerson, too. So
yeah,
nothing as of right now, Mike. Simon McPherson, he asked, this is kind of long-winded, so I cut it down. Basically, it's do you guys believe in Keon Broxton? Will he be just a streaky and high strikeout type of player?
That's kind of a loaded question. I mean, coming in, I kind of believed in him, but it's hard to take anything he's doing, you know, as a positive. Outside of the 5 stolen bases, his counting stats are pretty low. Freaking 2 RBIs, 8 runs. He's striking out at an enormous clip. I mean, he's striking out more than he did last year. It's 39% to 36 last year. Low BAPIP, so he's getting a little bit unlucky. I think he'll improve. My only worry would be if he gets so bad to the point where the Brewers aren't going to mess around anymore and they're going to bring up a guy like Lewis Brinson and he's going to lose the spot. I do think Broxton can turn it around to get to like be a 240 guy, but obviously he's not going to be put in a position to be high RBIs. And, you know, I would also point out when you got the hottest player in all of the world playing with you and you're not getting batted in, that is a little concerning. Like, you'd hope like a guy like Broxton might have like 14 runs or something because Eric Thames is just hitting everybody in and hitting bombs and whatnot. And, you know, that, and Ryan Braun has been playing well, that there's a powerful offense. So I'm a little concerned about it. I think, I don't know if I would go the way of Byron Buxton with him yet, but he's teetering. He's teetering the Buxton line.
Yeah, I just, the Brewers have so many options for the outfield, even if they trade. Ryan Braun. So I'm not a Broxton guy if he's hitting, but I do think he's going to be streaky. Like, I think Simon's exactly right. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to go off on a giant, you know, clip. Not an Eric Thames type of streaky, but, you know, a guy that could hit 300 for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, maybe
probably
even
like
a month.
Probably like Upton.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, a lot like Justin Upton. Yeah. So I think what you said is exactly right. He's going to be a high strikeout, streaky type of player, and he's on one of his bad streaks right now. Jacob Coleman, the Welsh.
Okay.
Jacob Coleman. Thames and Bellinger for Rizzo. But it's an auction league keeper.
Oh, my God.
Rizzo is $40. Thames is $3. And Bellinger is $5.
Oh, no.
So you save $32 Rizzo.
I'll be honest with you. I only looked at the first part of the question, and I was like, is this a redraft? I'm like, well, yeah, I'd trade Thames and Bellinger for Rizzo. Sure. Auction keeper. Rizzo's too much. That's too much money. $40 for Rizzo?
I think that's appropriate. I think $40 is appropriate, but...
Does he stay at that price?
I think he does. There was no other specified thing that...
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I don't know how to say this the right way. This trade makes sense. To get a $3 Thames, to get a $5 Bellinger and a keeper, especially if, let's say, you're losing... And Bellinger can be your future first baseman. You're going to get him cheap. If Eric Thames does hit, you're getting him cheap. You're dropping off money in the auction so you can put it elsewhere. I'm going to stop there and say, I'm also not doing this. Like, if I trade
Rizzo,
I'm going to stick to what I always tell people. If I'm going to trade a top 10 player, top 15 player, I want a player in the relative range of that guy and something else. I don't believe Thames is that guy. I would want, like, Bogarts and Bellinger to make this work, not Thames. So this makes sense. I get it. There's 1,000 reasons you can do it. Me personally, not doing it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it either. I'm keeping Rizzo. Rizzo is a first round, you know, borderish, second roundish type pick. And I'm not moving him for two unproven guys. I mean, look,
especially if you're trying to win.
Let's say, what's the best case scenario? You know, Thames is a 40 home run dude and who hits like 250 to 230-ish, I think. And Bellinger develops and becomes, you know, a second round pick. The best scenario for Anthony Rizzo is Anthony Rizzo becomes a top three overall player.
Yeah.
So,
but also the risk bucks.
So huge. Yeah. The risk bucks, right. The Welsh. Eric Thames drops off and becomes nothing, and Bellinger's in AAA next year.
You know what? Finished. It's almost like the price of those, like trading Rizzo for those guys is like 40, not dollars, but 40 risk bucks, where trading those two to get Rizzo, it's like $8 of risk. Like maybe Bellinger works out, you know what I mean? It's on the opposite end. Like I just don't want to do that.
I think there's residual effects from your car accident with all of your math that's going on. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, 40. So, really? Yeah, well, it doesn't need a car accident to have math problems here. But
I like this ball bag entry from Chad. He says the Yankees and Boston game was canceled on Monday.
Great.
On group me, everybody was saying, like, everyone had to report that the Yankees and Boston game was canceled.
You know, so, funny, our group me app for lieutenants or captains, it's actually become its own, like, social media network. It's its own universe. I swear to God, news gets broke on that quicker than Twitter. Like, I see stuff come up, I'm like, holy crap, I'm like, when did this happen? And then I go to Twitter and I'm like, oh, look, it happened. Guys break news on there to help everybody out, like, in an instant. It's crazy.
I think Dusty just got hired by ESPN after all the layoffs.
And then he was fired again.
And then he was laid off.
Yeah.
Right. All right. This one is from Nathan Wilcox. He says, hey, guys, love the show. The only podcast I can listen to every episode of. Anyway, on to putting my balls in y'all's bags. I need some help. I'm in last place. Haven't won a game. That's in my pay league. The one I actually tried on the draft. My free league is in first place, of course. He says, somehow I feel like almost every player on my roster lives in the panic room. I have two players above 300. One is a waiver pickup. And five under 200. Since I'm in a 10-team league, there's tons of good players on the wire, but I only get three pickups a week. I'm looking at Steven Souza, Mark Reynolds, Brandon Phillips, Joey Gallo, Austin Hedges. I just picked up Hayward for Granderson. The pitchers he can pick up are Wade Miley and Cota Glover, who just went on the DL, so Cota Glover's out. But would you drop any of these players to pick up any of those players, the Welsh? And I'm going to burn through his roster here for you. You ready?
Well, burn through the relevant ones.
Well, they're all relevant.
Okay.
Lucroy, Freeman, Pedroia, Brandon Crawford. Is he one?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I'd drop Crawford. I'm not dropping Lucroy or Pedroia.
Okay. Hayward, he could drop. Inciarte, Swanson, Victor Martinez, Yadier Molina.
I would drop Yadier because he already has Lucroy. I would drop Yadier and maybe Hayward, and I'd pick up, I like Sousa, maybe Brandon Phillips if you want some stuff and things. I like Reynolds as well.
Wade Miley, would you drop Amir Garrett now that Amir Garrett has gotten shelled?
For Wade Miley?
Yes, for Wade Miley.
No, I wouldn't.
Kendall Graveman.
Maybe. Maybe if I want to be safe.
See what he does tonight.
Yeah.
So basically, it's Yadier for Mark Reynolds, Steven Sousa, one of those guys.
Yeah,
right?
Second catcher. You don't need a second catcher.
Absolutely.
Here's a couple more. Just a couple Twitter ones we got. 15-team dynasty, 5x5. He needs a bat. Which starting pitcher would you not deal for Justin Upton? Not deal. Bundy, Arrieta, Sanchez, McCullers, Darvish, Harvey. Is it all of them but Bundy and Sanchez? This is more of a you question because, like, I would focus
all
on
all of them but Bundy. I wouldn't deal Sanchez either.
Okay, so you would deal Bundy for Upton.
I don't like
Upton.
Justin Upton.
I know you don't. And he's streaky, and he's going to get bad at some point. I might for Sanchez if you really need a bat. I might.
If you really need a bat. You really need a bat.
Yeah, we really do. At Belfour Happy Hour, drop Addison Reed or Brad Brock for Julio Urias or keep what I have.
Either one.
Immediately. I would drop Reed.
I would drop Reed too, but either one immediately for Urias.
Last one. At Chris_Rhyme. Trade in my Roto League. I get Sale and Hosmer. I give up Pollock and Blackman. Black. His first base is Mark Reynolds. What do you think?
Stop saying Black.
Pollock and Blackman.
So you would not, you would not do his trade?
Nope.
I might.
It's Roto. I like Sale. Sale's been really, really good, but Reynolds is hitting well.
Pollock is so good.
But Pollock is playing too well to trade him. I've got one more from the ball bag, the Welsh. It's from Nathan Wilcox. He says, I offered the guy with Bumgarner two separate offers. Bumgarner for Kyle Hendricks and Bumgarner for Chris Tillman. 10-team mix league, 2 DL spots.
Chris Tillman, get out of here, Nathan.
He said, is that offering too much or way too little or approximate value? I mean, I think Kyle Hendricks is an okay one just because Hendricks had a good start and Bumgarner is going to miss 2 months. I still wouldn't do it, but Tillman's a joke.
Tillman's laugh. I mean, I laughed in the middle of Bogman reading it. That's like I would LOL the rejection response to you for sure.
There's a couple others in here just to let you know in the ball bag that are just too long to read on the show.
Okay.
So I will get back to you, but not on the show.
Yeah. And, you know, like we talked with Heath last week, last show, you know, maybe Paxton. You know, I don't want to give up Paxton. I don't want to do it. But, you know, if you're getting Bumgarner, Dallas Keuchel, that type of stuff, you can't come in with Chris Tillman. All right, there you go. That's the ball bag. Email ballbag@inthisleague.com for your questions. You can tweet us with the hashtag ITLBallBag. We will get it on the show. We will talk about your things and our things all inside of our ball bag.
All right, that was the ball bag. I hope you liked our ball bag, everybody.
Who doesn't like a ball bag? Never ignore the ball bag.
Who doesn't like a good, nice ball bag?
Yes,
absolutely correct. We will be right back after this break to do some blind plays. Love the blind plays. See how awful I am at guessing player stats. Right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, we're back. It's the final segment of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. There's a lot to cover. There's been a whole lot. We're going to be playing blind plays here in just a minute. There's been just a lot of different things going on. The most talked about player, we talked about it with Steve just a little bit ago, the most talked about player in April has been Eric Thames. There's been a lot surrounding him between his pace numbers, two allegations, serious allegations. But I can definitely tell you one thing. It's hard not to like the guy. It's kind of hard not to like the guy.
Especially when he's like, keep testing me. I don't care.
Like, when you get a guy that faces that stuff head on and is not afraid to talk about it, you got to love it. Like, listen to this clip.
You know, this whole thing is surprising to me as well. You know, like, I really have no goals for this year. You know, I'm not trying to break any records or set anything. Or I just want to apply what I learned in Korea to see how it would fare here. And, you know, so I'm shocked at all the results. I'm just here to play ball and do my best to stay healthy and stretch as much as I can. So people keep thinking I'm on stuff. Like, I'll be here every day. I have lots of blood and urine, so.
He's got plenty of urine and blood. All-time clip. That's an all-time clip, right?
That reminds me of Dodgeball when they're like, we could sell blood and semen. And the pirate guy's like, yar.
Yar.
Not together.
It's hard not to like Eric Thames. And the dude has 11 homers. I think, every stat for Eric Thames is ridiculous.
He did leave hurt from last night's game. We're not sure if he's going to play today or not. But I figured he left just because they wanted a mid-game test.
Okay.
He's already been tested 3 times.
I did read, interestingly enough, I don't know how I came around it, but that a symptom of steroid use was joint and ligament issues.
Yeah, but not when you're using the steroids. It's when it's when you're on your off cycle. Are we still going to do this? The guy's been tested 3 times.
No, I'm just saying physical changes include unusually fast muscle growth.
Yeah, I think one of the side effects of baseball is also muscle and joint pain.
I'm just kidding. I can't do it. I like the guy. I love the comment.
You're just poking at me now. This isn't Eric Thames. This is because you know it bothers me.
I'm just poking at everybody. It's fine. Eric Thames is the world. What I want to ask you real quick, what do you feel about Eric Thames right now? We're just at the end of April. It's been about 1 month in the season. The guy leads all of baseball, all professional sports of baseball, even through the minors. I think the only other person, there's only two people that have double-digit homers in all of pro ball. It's Eric Thames and Jamie Romack, who's in the minors. How do you feel about Eric Thames, and how real is he to you now?
I would trade him. I don't think he's for real quite yet.
I want to ask you, what would you trade for him? Because we could talk, I think it's easy to sit here and say we would trade away Eric Thames. Yes, if you get the offer of Cespedes, you're going to make that.
Give me some names. Give me a couple names, and I'll tell you if I'm willing to deal Eric Thames for that guy.
Okay, how about Carlos Gonzalez, who just
You would trade
Carlos Gonzalez in an instant for Eric Thames.
No, I trade Eric Thames for Carlos
Gonzalez. No, I don't want to talk about trading Eric Thames away anymore, because we all do that. I want to talk about trading for him.
Okay, no way.
Justin Upton.
Oh, I hate Upton. I'd keep Thames. I don't like Upton.
Yeah, so we're trading away to acquire Thames.
But Upton is, he's not one of my guys.
Okay, so you would trade Upton to acquire Thames?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I want to know here. How about this one? I think this is interesting. Adrian Beltre has not played at all this season, still on the DL.
I'm a little worried about his setbacks and stuff, so I think I'd keep Thames right now.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Okay, so again, you would trade. We're not keeping Thames. We're trading.
Maybe it's
you would trade Beltre for Thames.
Maybe it's just because I'm too into NFL draft stuff right now, but one of their favorite sayings is availability is one of the best abilities, and Eric Thames is, who knows whatever he left with last night, but I would keep Thames because I don't know about Beltre's long-term health.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
You're not keeping Thames, Bogman. You're trading for him.
Okay, I would trade for Thames.
I want to press you a little bit. Okay, Alex Bregman.
I'm gonna keep Bregman.
Billy Hamilton.
I'm gonna keep Hamilton.
So would it be safe to say that you've got him as like a top 80 player? I feel like because you're not pushing into the 50 range.
Yeah,
guys.
I would say top 100 player. Okay. I would say closer to top 100 player. Just because. I don't know, man. We've seen so many of these one-month wonder guys. You know what I mean? This could be just a nice little hot streak for him. And like we said before on the last show, 8 of 11 homers are against the Reds. He's not going to face the Reds every single series.
Some of the stats.
He's going to see better pitchers. Some pitchers are going to see him twice. I just don't think it's going to last.
The stats are insane. You want to know what his ISO is?
5-3-5 something?
It's 5-3-4.
Oh, my God.
5-3-4. That's insane. Like, a good player's in the 200s. Guess what his WRC Plus is? WRC Plus is essentially, like, positionally, how much better is he than the replacement?
like a one.
And I want to give perspective for some people that don't quite understand that. Like, a 150 RC Plus, like, that's really good. Right, Bob?
Yeah, that's an all-star. Yeah.
Take a guess.
255.
251. It's 251 with a slugging percentage of 900. Like,
Jesus Christ.
His BABIP is like 370. That's actually not like crazy out of character, but he's hitting 370. Here's the problem. He's going to come down a bit. He's not going to pace out. He's not going to hit 50. I don't think he's going to hit 50 home runs.
No.
What he's doing right now.
I don't think he's going to hit 40.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to hit. I think 30 is a safe number. I'm turning a little bit, but here's the problem. I saw our buddy who was on last week, Heath Cummings. He sent out a bunch of trade offers. He said, I was going to send out some trade offers for Thames because he had, you know, we did our conversation with him and he was kind of wanting to get in on that bandwagon. He sent out some offers with every single one getting rejected, and I'm trying to see if I can find it real quick.
Jeez.
Because some of the names that he threw out when he did that, I was kind of like, I don't know about some of these. So here's some of the offers he sent out for Thames. Mind you, every single one was rejected. He sends his Nelson Cruz and Zobrist to get Eric Thames and Kyle Hendricks.
Okay. Well,
rejected.
Yeah.
He trades Miguel Cabrera. He gets Thames and Chapman. Rejected.
Jesus.
He trades Bogman, Nolan Arenado, to get Thames and Corey Kluber. It was rejected.
You know, I think it's the extra guy in there.
Well, of course, cause it's the extra guy, but give me a break. You got it. Arenado, top five player.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't have any other pitchers and Kluber's your only guy, then I wouldn't trade
maybe
Kluber either.
In a Roto, Hamilton and Carmart for Thames and Dan Duffy. Rejected.
I think that's
a fairish one.
I would have done that one.
Yeah. Manny Machado and Cole Hamels for Thames, Gary Sanchez, and Strasburg. That's insane. That one's insane to me.
Oh, my God.
That one's insane.
Someone
to
rejected
me.
That?
That's insane to me. So
I would have definitely taken that one.
I'm warming on Eric Thames, but the problem is he's going to cool down, and his cost is way too high. So the only option is to sell him. So there's lots of questions that are existing out there. Do you guys believe in Thames? What do you think on Thames? I don't see a scenario where it makes sense to buy him because people are out there declining Nolan Arenado and Manny Machado's because of Thames right now. It's an insane world we live in. It's a mad, mad world. So it's easier to go out and sell Thames. Yeah. To think that you could trade Eric Thames and Corey Kluber and get a top five player, I get the pitching thing, but come on. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I wouldn't do that is the construct of my team. If, you know, my next best pitcher is, you know, Aaron Nola or was Felix Hernandez and he's on the DL or something, you know, or it's Matt Harvey who is getting pounded as we speak, then, you know, I understand not trading the pitcher away, but I'm trying to get Arenado if I possibly can.
Eric Thames. Eric Thames got lots of blood and got lots of urine. That should be on a shirt. Let's make that shirt. All right, Bogman, it's time for the oh shit moment of the week.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
And it's a collision. Altuve is down. He looks like he's hurt.
That's right, because what you heard right there was Jose Altuve and Teoscar Hernandez having a really bad collision. I was
ugly.
Snap!
What was worse, that or your car accident?
It was my car accident. Sure. my car. Like
you said, you were going pretty slow. It was like 18 miles an hour. These dudes might have been running faster than that.
That's a good point. That's actually a good point. They really might have been. I might have been there. Like Altuve is the one that didn't get quite as hurt. I think he sat on Wednesday.
They didn't have to cart him off the field, right?
But he got clotheslined. Dude got freaking clotheslined here. So his looked really bad. Teoscar went on the DL. He ended up really bad. My car was bad. Let's throw a third into here. What's worse, Altuve and Hernandez, my car wreck, or Madison Bumgarner?
And the ground.
Souls of the animal kingdom.
Eagle. Fox. Bottlenose dolphin. Octopus. House cat.
Okay. Let's jump this junk.
Oh, shit. Are you okay?
Madison Bumgarner, which, by the way, on the show that we do on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, which people can find on Wednesdays, 8 to 10 Eastern, download the free app. It's usually a compilation of the podcast we do, but we do some original content on there. Bogman was, he did his little, like, hayseed impression of Madison Bumgarner, and I was like, what? I'm like, does he talk all like, and then I pulled the clip, which is right here.
Obviously, that was not my intentions when I set out to enjoy the off day. But, you know, I realize that's definitely not the most responsible decision I made. And, you know, it sucks not being able to be out here with my guys and try to help us win some games.
And I was like, when did Madison Bumgarner come out of the hills of West Virginia?
I'm just here to pitch, boy, and ride my dirt bikes.
I don't know. So, I like that moonshine, boy.
Did you see, speaking of OS, me and the Welsh we're just over here trying to celebrate our Patrick Corbin win and how great Patrick Corbin has been. And here comes Justin Mason to say, you know, it was against the Padres.
So, pooping on the parade.
Yeah, just rain in our parade, you jerk, Justin. And then I sent him a nice gif of live looking at Madison Bumgarner, and it was some fat dude on a dirt bike falling over. I thought that was pretty good.
Let's go again to that live clip of Madison Bumgarner riding his dirt bike.
Oh, shit.
God, how good is Hot Rod, by the way? How good is Hot Rod? Eagle! Jog! Bottlenose dolphin. It's so great. I imagine that was Bumgarner.
Yeah.
Right
before he crashed. That's one of those. The big thing right now is, you know, hold my beer.
What?
You haven't heard about that? Like, anytime somebody screws up and somebody else screws up something worse, you get the meme or the saying, you know, hold my beer. Like, oh, Southwest is canceling flights. United's like, hold my beer.
Oh, yeah. They're like, I'm gonna one-up you. Like, Teoscar Hernandez and Altuve, they get hurt, and Bumgarner's like, hold my beer.
Right, hold
and then
my
the,
beer.
And then the Welsh comes in, hold my beers.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm getting to. Hold my beer.
So miserable. I hate everything. Bogman, you want to go play a game?
Let's play. Let's do it.
It's time for us
game
to
time.
Play. Blind Plays. That is right. This week, we're going to play Blind Plays. Last week, we played The Panic Room, which people liked, I found out. People very much so liked The Panic Room. And
Can I ask you something? Am I doing Blind Plays? Is this like a self-pleasuring joke that you've made up? Is that why I do Blind Plays every week?
Oh, yeah, because you're going to go blind soon.
Because I'm going blind.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you need glasses? I'm starting to almost need them.
I don't need them yet, but every single person in my family has them, so I'm assuming I'll either need glasses or LASIK.
That's the moment. That's the moment where it all happens, where you're just like, when you have great vision your whole life, and then you realize you need glasses, and you're like, well, I'll just go crash my car and not be relevant, and just 3 days after my birthday, I'll do that. Like, that's what it's all coming down to.
Yeah, there are a couple times I've been, punching some addresses into my GPS, and they're like, yeah, this address doesn't exist. I'm like, what? And then I look back at where I'm supposed to go. Oh, yeah, I guess I read that number wrong.
I did that last night, too. I gave the tow truck driver the wrong address, and they kept being, you know, he's like, it's not here. And I'm like, dude, it's here. And then I walk closer, and I'm like, it's like 8 streets up. Sorry, my bad. That's not a 9. That's a 1. All right, blind plays, Bogman. We've got two of them here. Got some hitters. Got some pitchers. Let's play blind play number 1. So this is going to be over the season. We're not quite in the range where I'm comfortable doing 2 weeks or even 30 days because we've barely played 30 days here. So this is going to be two players that have had 70 or more at-bats, just to give you a perspective. You'd say that's a relatively decent sample size, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's not 30. It's not 30 at-bats where we can just, you know, spew it off and just be like, oh, that's garbage. 70 is decent-ish. It doesn't tell everything, but it's about a month in the season. Player number 1 with 11 runs, 7 home runs, 15 RBIs, 0 stolen bases, hitting .288.
I think I know who that is.
That's player number 1. Oh, do you? F you. All right. Let's shut up. Hold on. Player
Number two, the second suitor.
The second suitor.
With 18 runs, 4 homers, 10 RBIs, 3 stolen bases, hitting .321. So, coming back here on the 5x5, player number 2 owns the runs, player number 1 owns the homers. He also owns the RBIs, but player number 2 owns the stolen bases and average. So what do you want to do here, Boggs? You want to lay out for big RBIs and big homers, which might also lead to big runs? Or do you want the kind of stuff and things balance guy?
I'm going to take the power for sure, because that's I'm a power guy. With power, you get the RBIs and the runs. I think
and
that's
great responsibility.
Continue. And great responsibility. I didn't want to do it. I feel like I've been doing that too much this season. But his player number 1, Yoenis Cespedes.
You're wrong, you son of a
bitch. Player
2
is Ender Inciarte.
You are so wrong.
I was completely wrong.
Wrong.
Okay, then I have no idea who either one of these guys are, but I still want the power guy.
I'm so excited how excited you were that you knew these. Because, I mean, you get these sometimes, but it's so fun when you think you know it. And you...
No, I definitely thought I knew it because, you know, Cespedes hit 6 bombs in a week. He might be up to 8 or 9 now. But I figured, you know, he probably only had one more. Is player 1 Stanton?
Yes, oh, damn right.
Bing, 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 bing. Nailed it. Giancarlo Stanton, player number 1, hitting .288, 11 runs, 7 homers, 15 RBIs.
You still can't fool me. Player 2 is Cesar Hernandez.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Damn right.
Boom! You nailed it. How did you know? Did you go look?
No, Cesar Hernandez has been a free agent in my 10-man league for a long time, and I keep trying to not – I just don't need him. I have Dozier already at second, but I keep trying to find a way to pick him up, and I can't, and I just keep seeing his stats up there. But I figured you, being the jerky you are, would put 2 of my guys up against each other. So as Giancarlo Stanton versus Cesar Hernandez.
Yep. 18 runs, 4 homers, 10 RBIs with 3 stolen bases, hitting .321, was hitting .338 the day before, but so early, that's how the average change out. So obviously these guys are on the different spectrums, of course, but it's a classic Giancarlo Stanton number 2. I would call Cesar Hernandez one of the ultimate stuff and things guys right now. I mean, he's averaged in overall rank, I believe he's like top in Yahoo. He's top 20. He's 21 overall.
He's that Hansel. So hot right now.
Yeah, he's 21 overall. Hansel. And Stanton is 52 overall.
Yeah, and I'm still, you know, I like Cesar Hernandez a lot. I think he's a guy that, you know, the Welsh and I talked about, especially the Welsh going into the season. But you got to take Stanton.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, while he's healthy, he's the guy.
Yeah, agreed. In a you know, an overall like value standpoint, you don't trade Cesar Hernandez to get Giancarlo Stanton. But what it does show is over at 70 plus at bats, Cesar Hernandez has shown some reality. You know, we're all spending our time tying. We got a thing we're going to do in news and notes to talk about some underrated players. There's a lot of underrated players that you're not gonna sell the farm on or anything like that. But the reality of their stats, we have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge that
yeah.
It's not 30 at-bats, and Cesar Hernandez is worthwhile like some of these other players are, so the gap is at least closed
yes,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Over, under Cesar Hernandez as a top 100 player rest of season?
Under. I don't think he's going to keep hitting .321. If he can keep, you know, the power and the stolen bases the whole year, but I don't know,
top
man.
Top 25 player.
Top 25 player?
Top 125.
Yeah. I could see that.
Okay, so he's between 100 and 125 for you.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's pretty valuable. Are you ready for number 2?
Yes.
Blind plays. These are 2 pitchers who I can safely say over the last 30 days, but I made a caveat to say that each pitcher had to have pitched 25 or more innings. So that gives us a decent sample size. Maybe 3 really good starts, or actually that's probably, it's 4 to 5 is essentially what you're looking at, correct? You're looking about 4 or 5 starts.
Yeah.
Probably what it is. Player number 1 has 3 wins, obviously no saves, 23 strikeouts, a 1.65 ERA with a 0.98 whip. Player number two has two wins, 27 strikeouts, the exact same 1.65 ERA, and a 0.8 whip. Now, if you'd like a little bit more stats, because those are very similar, you know, on the onset, player number two has pitched 27 innings. Player number one has pitched 32 innings. And I'm going to give you one last hint, because these are pitchers and it can get goofy. They're both AL pitchers.
One of them is Irvin Santana, right? But I can't figure out which one. No, none of them? Okay. Really love making that noise, don't you? You jerk. Nice. Okay.
Well, which one do you want first?
I guess number... I really can't tell with this. I'll take the guy with the extra win, the three-win guy, the okay. number one.
Okay.
Is one of these Dallas Keuchel?
Incorrect. It's a good guess, though. It's a very good guess.
Yeah, no, it's a good guess. Irvin Santana is a good guess.
It's a good guess, too. Yeah, it's been definitely good. Let's give you another little hint here. I mean, I did say they're both AL pitchers. One has three wins with 20.
He's got James Shields.
Nope.
He's been good.
Because you're taking player number one, who has three wins, 23 strikeouts, a 1.65 ERA, and a 0.98 whip, who I have told you has pitched 32 innings. Player you did not pick has pitched 27 innings, so it's about a start difference. Two wins, 27 strikeouts, a little bit more strikeouts and less innings, with the same ERA and a lower whip, both AL. And the tip I will give you is
Vargas is one.
Is not one.
No.
Nope. I can tell you that they are both top 50 overall players on Yahoo.
Know. I'm not going to know who either one of these guys are.
All right. What would you like to know first?
Exhausted my guesses. You can give me teams, I guess, if you want to do that. But just give me player one.
Player number one, I picked. Who you chose with three wins, 23 strikeouts, a 1.65 ERA, and a 0.98 whip, Dylan Bundy.
Dylan Bundy. Okay, I like it.
Over the player with two wins, 27 strikeouts, a 1.65 ERA, 0.8 whip, also in the AL, Carlos Carrasco.
Well, I'll take Carrasco. Well,
you took Bundy. I'm just saying.
I took Bundy on
a blind set. You took Bundy. It's funny because I was having this conversation with one of our IT Army members, Guthrie, who they had sent me an offer that didn't work for me with Bundy on it. And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, he was like, is it off? He's like, you know, are you not sold on Bundy? I'm like, well, you know, it's just a short run here. And then last night he had another game where he pitched and it's 30 plus innings. Bundy's not worth the top 50 player that by any means. I don't buy that whatsoever.
He's got that potential.
But we
got
to pay attention to him.
But he's got to stay healthy.
I know.
And Carrasco's had that.
We got to stay healthy
last
too.
Couple years too. But
that's why I paired the two.
Stay healthy long. Yeah.
That's why I paired those two
together.
It's a
good blind play because I think that by the end of the year, Bundy could be in that Carlos Carrasco window.
Yeah.
And he's got to stay healthy.
And interestingly enough, Bundy is one spot under Carrasco. They're next to each other on the Yahoo starting pitcher rank. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Carrasco is 10 overall in pitchers and Bundy is 11. And but here's a few of the names that are ahead. Leak, Vargas, Irvin Santana is the number one pitcher because of the ERA. And then you have Kershaw, Keuchel, Paxton, Sale, and Scherzer in between. That's your top 11.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, right?
That's a first month for you.
Yeah.
Vargas is in there with all those guys.
All right, well, that is it. That's going to do it for Bogman, for myself, Chris Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. If you like what you heard, you can go find us over at InThisLeague.com. That's a website to check out all the happenings and goings-ons that's happening within this league as far as all the different podcasts we do. We've got apparel. We've got all that type of stuff. You can join our insider program, the ITL Army, where you can talk with us. You can get secret comedy shows. All that crazy stuff is happening. So go check it out. There's fantasy football on the horizon. There is so much fantasy baseball to talk about, and we are here for you. So find us up on Twitter, or just make sure you're tuning in Wednesdays, 8 to 10 Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, because that's where you can find us, or on demand, fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. Until next time, for Bogman of the Welsh, bye-bye.
See ya.